It's the third Sunday in Advent. We're in the midst of preparing our hearts and our homes for Christmas. Decorating, sending Christmas cards and emails, baking Christmas cookies, attending Christmas and holiday parties, shopping for Christmas gifts, and I suspect the to-do list goes on and on. It would be fun to preach on this third Sunday in Advent about keeping Christ in Christmas, sending us on our merry way, ho, ho, ho. Instead, we re-encounter John the Baptist and are greeted by his heartfelt greeting, "You brood of vipers." Not very Christmassy, but he gets our attention. Why do we go looking for John the Baptist in these weeks before Christmas? We look for John the Baptist because we're waiting for Jesus. When you hear the word Israel, what comes to mind? What's your mental picture of Israel when you hear that word read in our scriptures? Is it the man named Jacob who wrestled with God and had his name changed to Israel and his family, his wives and his daughters and his 12 sons? Is that what you picture when you hear the name Israel? Or is it the 12 tribes that flow from those 12 sons and become the tribes of Israel? Or is it this collection of people who are governed by judges at one point? Or is it this kingdom that is governed by kings in a period of their history? Or is it the divided and conquered Israel that's been conquered by other nations and taken into exile? Or is it the Israel that returns to Jerusalem? Or is it the Israel that is again conquered and again sent into the world? Is it the Israel that is eventually governed by Rome, the Israel at the time of Jesus' birth? Or is it the Israel that 40 years after his death was sent into exile one more time and lived in exile in a diaspora for years and years and years? Or is it the Israel that is now the modern nation state that was created in the aftermath of World War II? What's the picture in your mind when you hear the word Israel? Well, I ask because each one of those versions of Israel had their prophets who came to call them back to God. Different prophets for different times and different places and different realities in their history. The prophet that we are drawing to mind today is the prophet Isaiah. It is Isaiah who spoke to Israel at the time around their exile into Babylon. And he was speaking actually to the people of Judah because Israel had been divided. He was speaking to Judah and bringing comfort and hope to these people as they were exiled and longing to come back to Jerusalem, longing to come and rebuild a temple that had been destroyed. That's who Isaiah was speaking to in this middle section of the book of Isaiah. And it's from that section of the book that we get the words that we hear echoed in John the Baptist. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words of hope and comfort to his people. He said, "A voice cries out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert his path, a highway for our God.'" That whole chapter, chapter 40, is echoed throughout our Advent season as comfort, comfort my people. It's sung in Handel's Messiah. You'll hear these words from Isaiah throughout this season. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, crowds are coming into the wilderness, and they are waiting for a Savior, a Messiah, to set them free from Rome. They come looking for John, wondering if he is finally the one they've been waiting for, if he's the Messiah, or if he's God's prophet who is going to reveal them. And they've come after following many false prophets and seeking after many false messiahs who sought to get their attention. In the Gospel of John, which we didn't read today, but in the Gospel of John, it's the priests and the Levites who come. They come to John the Baptist and ask, "Who are you?" And John said, "I am not the Messiah." They asked, "Then who are you?" John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah has said. So it's this voice of one crying in the wilderness to whom the people are coming in the gospel reading that we had today. In the gospel of Luke, it's the priests and the Levites and the people from the temple and this whole crowd of people coming to be baptized by John, seeking a Messiah, seeking the prophet who will lead them to the Messiah and set them free from captivity by these Romans. They're a brood of vipers, according to John, who are actually children of Abraham, people of Israel coming from the temple, coming from their synagogues, waiting and watching for a Messiah. So basically, they were good church people like us who are still waiting now for Jesus. They came looking for John, and John called them to repent. So that's a little bit of the context of who John was and why John was there. In part, fulfilling that prophecy from Isaiah, to be the one who would proclaim the way of the Lord. Well, when you hear the phrase United States of America, what comes to mind? What's the picture you see? Is it the colonial revolutionary framers of our country setting up a foundation? Is it the frontier and the expansion and the growing borders that comes to mind when you think of the U.S.? Is it a nation divided by civil war? Is it a melting pot of immigrants who are flooding in from Europe? Is it an industrial complex, growing cities and an economy? Is it a nation engaged in wars? Is it a nation that struggles with the civil rights of all people? Is it a nation that struggled and lived through depressions and difficult times? Is it a nation that is divided by ideology and political parties? What comes to your mind when you hear the phrase United States of America? I think I have a little bit of an ideal in my mind of what that means, and I keep comparing all of these various phases in our history to that ideal that I see when I think about what is the United States of America. But every one of those stages in our history and in our development and our growth as a nation had its prophets as well. It had people that spoke to this country and tried to draw us back to a more godly way. In every era, there were Christians waiting for Jesus and looking for John, looking for the voice of one who cries into our wildernesses as we walk through our history together. Well, the crowd that gathered with John asked him, "What then should we do?" And his words to those people then still have meaning for us today. John said, "If you have an extra coat or extra food, share it. Whoever has enough should share with those who do not have enough." He told tax collectors to collect only what was due them. We should deal with others with integrity and with honesty. He told the soldiers not to extort money as they marched through the cities by threats or accusations. In other words, do not abuse your power for political gain or for personal gain. And John's words are just as relevant for us today as they were for first century Israel. But what else might a current John the Baptist say to us? Would he still begin with, "You brood of vipers"? We can't actually know what he would say. We know what he did say, and we can still learn from that. But we can still look for the John the Baptist. We can look for the prophets in our own age. We can listen for the voices today that are crying out in our wilderness to draw us closer and back to God's ways? What would a current today's John the Baptist say about refugees on our borders, or climate change, or our support for a war in Yemen and other places around the world? What would a John the Baptist say about the rise in racism, homophobia, gender discrimination, gun violence, political chaos? Where are the voices in our world now crying out in our wildernesses to draw us back to God's ways? Those voices are there because God still speaks. We are waiting for Jesus to return to make all things right again with God. But while we wait, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here and now, today, among us." And having prayed, we live out that prayer in our own time. First, I want to challenge us to two things. And there are two kinds of listening. First, I want to challenge you to listen for the voice of one crying in the wilderness, to look for John, to ask what voices are speaking truth and calling us to God's way today, to look for those prophets as Israel looked for John. God still speaks through prophets, sometimes even in scripture and liturgy and sermons and online devotionals. Second, I want to invite you to listen for God's voice in your own heart, in your mind, in your own spirit, because God still speaks to us when we listen. Actually, I think he speaks always, but we're not always listening. I graduated from Luther Seminary in May of 1998. That was 20 years ago. But I wasn't ordained as a pastor until March of 1999. I got to wait those 9 months for that call to come, waiting by a phone and expecting a bishop to pick up the phone someday. It's like a sabbatical, except you never know when it's going to end, so you can't actually relax and enjoy it. So it was 9 months of waiting, but it was also a time when my daughter Alexis was 2 years old, and I got to spend that time with her. And it was a time when I was finishing up a 2-year spiritual direction program that was called Contemplative Listening. In that program, I learned about the practice of centering prayer. It's a spiritual practice of listening for God's voice in silence. And during those months of waiting, I did centering prayer twice a day for 20 minutes. It's the most disciplined 9 months of my life regarding that, because I think I had the time to give to that. But it was also something that was really nourishing to me during that time, because I needed that time of silence and listening for God's voice in that time of discernment in my life. It profoundly shaped my time of waiting and my life ever since. Well, we're inviting you to practice centering prayer as an Advent spiritual practice. Not just because we like to make you do things, but because God still speaks to us when we listen. And God speaks to us most often in silence, because then you can hear God's voice, that still small voice. So we're inviting you to try this Advent spiritual practice in this hectic time of waiting. There are directions in the bulletin. There are also spiritual cards in the back that say centering prayer, and they have the directions on them just to make it easy, or at least so you won't forget. And I want to invite you now to just imagine that you're going to spend the next 20 minutes doing a time of centering prayer. But we're not. But I want us to think about how you would get into that if you're going to do it, just to practice a bit. So, it says first to set a timer for 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 minutes, however long you're going to be in prayer. The reason for the timer is because you're going to get lost in that time, and time is going to just sort of drag on forever or fly by like it was a minute. And it's nice to have that little bell that says, okay, you're done. Second, the practice includes choosing a word to focus on, because the idea is to kind of clear your mind and just be able to listen and not have thoughts and things constantly running through your head as they normally do. So the suggestion is to choose a sacred word that when you start thinking about things, you can just say, no, be still, or whatever your word is. I like be still, but you can choose your own. And to sit comfortably, to breathe deeply, to relax, to rest, to settle in, and to quiet your mind. That's the hard part. The rest is just being silent for however long you've decided you're going to be silent. That's what we're inviting you to try. And as thoughts come to your mind, you just let them go and return to silence. Listen for the voices of God in those prophets who are among us, through whom God is still speaking. And listen in your own heart, mind, and soul to God who speaks to you. And we're inviting you to allow some special time for that to happen. So let's try it. I will set the timer for 1 minute, because I think we can spare that this morning. I'll invite you to choose a sacred word. Be still works for me, but whatever works for you, choose a word. Sit comfortably. Take a deep breath or two or three. Close your eyes if that helps. And then just listen to the silence. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.